Rusty Quill presents.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Previously on Planet Arcana.
In the wake of the Fool's victory over Reap and the boys, the great beast Calamonite arrived, bursting through the very ground. And so, knowing they are unprepared to face it, they make their escape, saving Lonestead from devastation. Celestine takes hold of the Creation Point receiver gifted from Finale 13 and connects it to the Hawk, using the item's magic to transport our heroes as far away as they can get. And so it is that the Fools arrive at the Seal Wastes Creation Point, far to the north on the flat Arctic tundra of the Cold Breaks. They are greeted by Tutor Chestnut, who allows them use of the Creation Point server and offers lodging for the night, as long as they create a piece of art to leave behind. In hopes of recovering a memory of Calamonite's full name, Celestine approaches the server and jacks in. You heard right, my dearest darlings. That's just what it's called. With Crater and Simon close by, the three fools trek together into the reverie, where we find Celestine about to begin his Creation Point journey. The event is attended by his old companion Quintessa Sombra, as well as Sombra's esteemed maker, the Regent FaZe, an android who lived for hundreds of years, but never rebooted after the big oops. Near to the Regent is a blurry, indistinct figure, whose shape coalesces into clarity when Celestine recalls their identity. This is the human Advisor Fate, and Celestine's Maker. After the ceremonies kick off, Regent FaZe and Advisor Fate head off in opposite directions. Celestine follows his Maker, but by sacrificing something of great value, his companions are able to pursue FaZe. They witness Regent FaZe communing with the Moon Arcana, dedicating to it the secret of eternal life, and referencing a limbic sensor of FaZe's own design. And then, Crater Wayne hears the Regent speak the words he has so often heard from the Moon. Your legacy is my legacy. Meanwhile, Celestine, who is known in this time as Rom, hides behind a tree to observe Sombra and Advisor Fate engaged in a conspiratorial meeting. Their discussion hints at a larger plan, relics of the Arcana, FaZe's amplifier device, and the commencement of Rom's own Creation Point journey, all of which serve the goal of preventing the Regent from realizing and controlling immortality. When Rom's journey is complete, he will be ready to play his part. And then, Advisor Fate speaks three names who are meant to be the key to the plan. Sombra, Voltrelect, and a third unintelligible name that cannot be retained by the mind of present-day Celestine. Outside of the memory, full of emotion brought on by the revelations involving his limbic sensor, Crater once again becomes emotionally unregulated. He lashes out, damaging the hawk until Simon and Celestine are able to bring him back to himself. Exhausted from a trying day, the fools retire to the shelter of the creation point and set themselves to some artistic endeavors, as they promised Tudor Chestnut they would. Chestnut herself declares that she is not involved in Uncle Edict's machinations and cautions the crew that Edict has put word out to all creation points that he's looking for a group who matches their description. Chestnut also reveals there is a network of tutors who oppose Edict, but to do so openly would put their positions at risk. And as the day comes to a close, our very own Simon the Spider leads a group of young androids in a song of his very own making, one which propones some not-so-subtle anti-edict ideals. Though much has been learned during their visit to the Seal Wastes, our crew still do not have the information they require. So, let us return now to our heroes as they continue their hunt for the name of a great beast.
I can hear you. I am listening.
I can hear the cacophony
coming from all across the Fifth Collide.
Oh, how I miss you, my dearest darling. I miss
the clockwork.
The neon.
The networks.
Oh, these metropolises. These
verdant, desolate biomes.
Oh, the fun and games we have planned.
But always with
the promise that we are on a blinding path of success. You will be tried.
You will be.
Compromised. I repeat, we have been compromised.
But do not despair.
You will
see the world. You will
know
Planet Arcana.
You will find
all it takes is a friend.
All it takes is perseverance.
All it takes is a little audacity.
All it takes
is a key.
You stayed up relatively late after almost an entire season at Mon Paws, going to bed at 7:45. 8 p.m. and you get to the Seal Waste creation point and you stay up all night making art. And after a big, big day, it maybe energized you a little bit, but staying up till midnight is just not something you've done in a while.
Oh boy.
So you all crash at the Seal Waste creation point underneath the northern lights. The next morning, we find Crater standing in front of, well, what did you make last night?
Crater had a piece of charcoal and a big old piece of white paper, and he had thought about drawing Arbor, but he wanted to be original, I guess. With the events that, like, with everything that happened yesterday, I think he had more or less completely blacked out this giant white piece of paper with the black charcoal, except for a little sliver that is just like a little crescent moon in the center of it.
Oh, holy shit. That's fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. We swing over to Celestine. Celestine, what did you create last night?
Well, I think the first thing that Celestine created, he actually doesn't want to give away. and I hope that's okay with Tudor Chestnut.
You can keep that one if you leave something else. That's the rule. And I'm serious about it.
Oh, you sound serious. In fact, I don't think I've heard you sound. We talked about some serious things yesterday, but I don't think I've heard you sound so serious as you did just then.
I take art more seriously than anything in this world.
All right, then. Celestine then quickly sits down, like pencil in his fist and like tongue out the side of his mouth.
Oh my
and
God.
Scribbles a very quick sketch of one of his favorite belt buckle designs.
Oh.
And that it's in the shape of Lonestead on the map. There's a little raptor on it. That's the thing that Celestine leaves behind, but the first thing that he created that he's going to keep for himself, he tried to draw Advisor Fate as close as he could remember him from the memory and just kind of keep that picture of his maker handy just in case inspiration, anything, just to have something of his maker to kind of connect to.
Beautiful. Oh my goodness, is this a belt buckle? And there's a raptor on it. Oh my goodness. Oh, I love it so much. Oh, I'm going to put this right up here, right next to, oh my goodness.
And she catches sight of Crater's piece and she just stares at it for a while and then looks at him and she's just like,
if you ever need representation, you can call me, hey. I know a lot of gallery owners and something like this. No, I mean, everybody's piece is so beautiful. You could all have places in the gallery, but no, for serious. And I think we could make some real money off of stuff like this. It's gorgeous.
You know, money really taints the art.
You know what? I'm so worried about the budget that I lost sight of what it's all about. And it's all about the feeling that I get when I look at this here crescent moon.
She drifts off for a second.
We in any case.
There was also just such a funny thing for Crater specifically to say, because you're always the one who's trying to get us extra money anytime, anywhere. And this one thing, you're like, no, it's not about the money.
Three levels of bard, baby. That'll do it.
Hell yeah. It actually does make a lot of sense because Crater's a canonically bad tipper. It's just not about the money, you know? It's about the love of the craft.
Yeah, something like craft.
Yeah. Sandwich artists everywhere.
I can't possibly charge you for this sandwich. So disrespectful. And as a note, you know, all of you are showing off your pieces, and Simon really rallied the troops last night, like not only in his own party, but there's not that many androids here at his low season, little baby androids, I mean, but the few that are here, when they wake up and you're, you know, having your morning coffee, they're like running around the creation point and they're all humming the song that Simon made last night.
I also made a little something this morning. Come with me. And Simon goes out of the door into the snowy wastes, but turns a corner around the side of the building to a little bump, maybe like 3 feet in height, with a little veil over it. And he leads you to it.
Oh, we have a reveal. Okay, everyone gather around now. Gather around, okay.
So I don't know too much about this stuff, but it seems to be malleable to my tastes. So I made an homage to my friends. And he unveils the little ice sculpture that he decided he didn't really feel like sleeping because it's still like, you know, so boring. And he made an ice sculpture of a little dog, not dissimilar to the one with the fool, but the dog's got a cowboy hat and a little fiery heart around where his heart is.
That's beautiful, Simon.
Chestnut wipes like a single tear from under her eye.
You really gave a lot.
I don't know.
Did you like my belt buckle drawing?
Oh, your belt buckle drawing changed my life there. Yeah, absolutely. I love all of these pieces equally.
Inside check.
You make sure you put that on the fridge.
I got a dirty 20 insight. Just tell the truth about how much you like my drawing.
She wants you to believe that she likes it that much. She has her favorites, but she's a professional.
Can I inspire her on her deception check?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. That's such a 50% good, 50% evil way to use inspiration.
No. It's a D6, Crater?
Correct.
I got an 11 total.
No, yours is just as good. Really, God, for God, give me a break, okay? I'm so tired.
Celestine narrows his eyes and walks away.
No, come on. Ah, jeez.
I'm so tired.
Yeah, that's so real. Dealing with the kids all day, like a thankless job.
I have to make sure I am as excited about all their pieces and, oh my God, the amount of pets that I've seen drawn and the parents and the, the belt buckle. Oh, no, I love the belt buckle. Belt buckle drawings are the best.
So he just tosses his hat angrily on the ground.
No, it's going right on the fridge. See, here it goes. I'm going inside to put it up.
No, I don't need it. That's fine. I'm going to sell that belt buckle one day. You just watch.
Oh, and I'm going to buy one. Don't you worry.
Celestine, think of the amount of young androids you've potentially turned into belt buckle wearers. Maybe one will wear that exact belt buckle design someday.
I think they will, Simon. Thank you. I think it'll be a very popular belt buckle design.
I'm so sorry.
Well, belt buckle designs aside, Tutor Chestnut, thank you for letting us stay the night here and taking up some space and for the art supplies and, you know, the information and stuff. It was good to meet you.
Oh,
very good.
I'm quite honored to meet the three of you. I must say, you give me hope. And can I ask where you're going next?
Well, perhaps you can help us in that regard. We have a few creation points on our list that we think are safe from Edict's people.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really have a plan for which one was next, but could you maybe double check this list for us? And I'll hand over a list of names that 13 provided us just to confirm that all of these creation points are still separate from Edict's control.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chestnut does confirm the danger creation points as they were.
Right.
All of the creation points in the Phantom Isles are run by Edict's folks, which does make sense. So that's the Jaggedy Jacks and the Phantom Isles creation point. Okay. Furthermore, the Thurlesh Hills creation point and the Magna Quartz creation point are two of the four creation points in the Thurlesh. Those ones are bad too.
Mm.
The Thurlesh is close to Paragarden and Viridesia, and Magna Quartz is way up in the north. Coronet creation point is the creation point that you visited when you were leaving Paragarden. Mm-hmm. There you did meet Tutor Hawthorne, and yep, he was installed by Edict, and it was very clear.
Yep.
And finally, the last one that is a danger point, it is from a outdated list, is the Cransom and Grove creation point. Used to be staffed by Tutor Birch and is no longer.
Because we burned his tent down.
That's right.
Yep. Bitch.
Yeah, that's the one that Snowshoe and Pacemaker are at.
Correct.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is looking pretty good to me. Yeah, I must say. This lines up with what I know about the tutors so far. I will say, you know, things are very uncertain right now. And like I said, you three rolled in. You did give me your real name, Celestine. So I have to recommend against that, even at a friendly one, especially considering you just never know who's going to be there. There's baby androids all over the place. These are difficult times.
I appreciate the advice, and we will take it from now on.
All right. Well, I hope to hear more news about you from the right people and not the wrong ones.
And we would certainly appreciate hearing from yourself if there's anything that develops on your end with regard to Edict and his plans.
You got my number. Do you give her your number?
Yeah, I think that's fine. Right, gang? Do we have any problem with that?
She's
no issues.
Cool.
Okie dokie, yeah, I've got your number. You got mine. We'll be in contact.
We got your number.
Oh my.
All right, well, folks, unfortunately, as much as the information that we got here was illuminating, we didn't get what we came for. Now, I know that we're gonna plan to meet up with Harley down in the Phantom Isles, but before that happens, maybe we should try to go somewhere safe and see if we can get Calamanite's name.
I like your reasoning.
Yeah, we need to stay away from both Bucharest and the Phantom Isles until I think we have that information.
All right.
We are persons of interest.
That is.
We're interesting people. What do you mean?
All right. Well, I think at this point, then, if we're getting ready to go, maybe can we say that I fixed up at the very least the windows of the hawk?
Yeah.
It's all right, Crater. I understand. I certainly don't hold it against you. FB might, if it's still in this state the next time we see her, but we'll see what we can do about making this drive ready, and I'll just try and cast mending on the shattered windows. Maybe the dash remains a bit of a mess, but we'll see if we can't do a little repair job.
I'm trying to help. I'm casting heat metal on it so it becomes a little bit more malleable for
him. Nice. Nice. All right, and with that repaired, I think I'll do the same as last time and channel some magic into the receiver to bring up this little star map of the creation points and just point to one to the south and be like, that one right there. I think that's Scuttle Steps, and I don't think that Edict is in control of that one yet.
Ooh, Scuttle Steps.
It's fun to say, so it must be fun to be there, too.
It's fun to scuttle.
The thing is, Crater, you remember all of these creation points. Like, you...
I guess I would, eh?
Yeah, honestly, at any point, if you have any questions for us about what they're... You know what? I'm going to say this because otherwise I'm afraid that it will get left to the wayside. And B and I did a lot of thinking about this. Each of the creation points has a specialization. The one that you're at right now specializes in art. It's the perfect place. You can see the Northern Lights. It's a great place to be inspired.
AJ.
Yeah.
I think I would know this. What does the scuttle... What's it called? Scuttlebutt?
Scuttle steps.
What is the scuttlebutt?
What's the scuttlebutt on scuttle steps?
What's the scuttle step specialization?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Step, of course, being spelled STEPPES.
P-P.
The scuttle steps creation point is in the Thurlush, and its specialization is ethics.
Ethics. Oh, that sounds fun. Okay.
Wonder how they're going to feel about a group whose philosophy is 50% evil.
50% good,
more
I will say.
More nuanced than like, you think, yeah.
Glass half full.
Okay, the star map has been pulled. Scuttle steps has been identified.
Everybody ready?
Born ready.
Let's go.
All right. And I concentrate hard on that point of light and channel all the magic I can muster into the receiver.
Wonderful. A feeling that is now becoming somewhat familiar, the incorporeality to reincorporation process occurs again. The tingling, the shooting through space, and then the reincorporation materializing in this new location. And the first thing that greets you is the smell of manure as you apparate near the scuttle steps creation point. To your left, some bison moo and sheep baa. And as you look down the dirt road, you see chickens wandering freely and pecking at the ground. A structure not dissimilar to Mom Pa's farmhouse stands proud in this flat, brown, grassy field. And behind you, a tall corn maze. Long clouds paintbrush across the sky. With its fields of crops and barns, this is by far the largest acreage of land you've ever seen a creation point occupy. Plenty of denizens occupy the Scuttle Steps creation point, though far more livestock than people. And as you arrive, there's a few little kitty androids, and they're milling about, carrying buckets of fresh milk, shucking ears of corn, rolling wheelbarrows out to the fields. But you hear a few adult voices coming from inside the farmhouse, and it sounds like a tense conversation.
Can we listen in?
Yeah, like sneakily?
Yeah, kind of see what's being said before we announce our presence.
Let's do what about like a group stealth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At disadvantage because a car just appeared out of nowhere.
I'm gonna use my invisibility.
Beautiful.
Okay, you can cancel your disadvantage.
Okay.
Pass without trace, I guess.
Yo.
Probably smart.
Sure. All right. We all get plus 10. The lower of my two rolls was a natural one.
Wowzers.
So I just drive the hawk right through the wall.
Just lean out the horn.
Lean out the window. Yeah, exactly. Lean on the horn. What y'all talking about?
I rolled a 22, if that is any help.
Yeah, you do great, Crater. You're literally invisible. It works.
Oh, actually, because I rolled the lesser was 11, I also got 22 with the pass without trace.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow.
So that is two successes and a catastrophic failure.
Catastrophic.
So catastrophic that I now pronounce the word differently. So this is interesting. Because technically you did make two out of three. What happens when one's a crit fail?
It would count as two. They need at least half to succeed, and they got two out of four, basically. So they succeed.
Okay.
Against all odds.
Against all odds.
So, Peter, do you want to give me a little flavor about what almost goes horribly wrong that you barely managed to recover from?
So I guess what we're trying to like physically sneak up on them, right?
Yeah, they're in the farmhouse. The doors are open. They're having a conversation. You're trying to sneak up to spy.
Yeah, cool. So we're trying to sneak up, and we're sneaking pretty successfully until Celestine bumps into Crater because he can't see him, and the key fob in his pocket hits the alarm on the hits the like the automatic door locks, and you just hear a really loud beep beep.
Okay, the beep beep does occur. Luckily, the conversation inside is tense enough that it doesn't quite manage to catch anyone's attention directly. So you are peeping, and perhaps there's a little window that you manage to get just the top of your heads over, and you look on the inside and you can hear from the open door. And you see on the inside somebody with the countenance of a tutor. Do tutors wear like a common thing?
You know, I thought about this and then I decided I didn't know when I was reading descriptions.
Cool. Well, maybe there's like a lanyard or like a...
I've always pictured them in like a brown robe for some
reason.
In
this description, I do describe what they are wearing to be fair.
Well, how about like a little pin that's like a graduation cap?
Love that.
Does it come with the accent that all tutors have?
Yeah. It's an accent generator. They all sound totally different when they take the pin off. So you identify the tutor in there from their pin, and you know him to be, from the intel that you have about these creation points, you know this person to be Tutor Larch, all pronouns, a steam android, with a tall and thin, perfectly cylindrical charcoal body. They wheel their chair across the room, industrial farm-grade thick red wheels powering over the floor with ease. She's not wearing anything at the moment, but you can see char marks, almost like a tan, around his shoulders, indicating their frequent overall use. And the other person in the room with them, you've never seen before. They have some of the typical colors and regalia of a Spectre. This is a cloud android, reverse teardrop shape, with a white frame and golden seams. She wears a matching two-piece suit, and the blazer's long coattails are a marigold gradient and sweep the ground behind her. Her face display just has two eyes that blink too often, and a red lipstick mouth that is proportionally oversized. This cloud android dressed like a specter is speaking to Tutor Larch.
Larch, you know how your creation point is very appreciated in the fabric of the Thorulush and the creation point journey at large. I'm not asking you to change anything drastic about your situation up here. We would just like a small tweaks to your curriculum, just a small addition.
Yeah, I mean, it just does kind of seem like you're asking a lot. Like, I'm always down to take notes on the way that we're running things around here, and, I take a bit of offense to this, Goldie. It's just, I don't know about the, and they get, like, very silent when they lean in and say this. I don't really want to be taking the rat.
It's simply a tool, Larch. It's simply a tool of our trade. And you really can't have this attitude that, oh, we're being offensive. This is our job, right? We, in essence, and I hate to say this because you know that I consider you a very dear friend, but we are your bosses, and these are the new tools of our trade. And edX Innovation is deeply formative to society, and we'd appreciate all the tutors using these tools. And on top of that, I do think it's important that the young androids are aware of all the prominent figures in all the factions, and I don't believe it's a big ask to incorporate this new tool and this small portion of the curriculum.
Why don't you just go back to Edict and just tell him that, I can access my spirituality without any outside influence, like the new tools that we're supposed to be using, eh?
Eh.
And Goldie, I don't really remember the last time that you and I went out for a frickin' beer or nothing, so saying that we were good friends is...
Lives change. I'm very busy with Edict. He keeps me very busy. And Edict's business is my business. And if Edict's business is not your business, then that needs to be Edict's business. And it's my business to tell Edict what the business is. And after all, you do have Edict to thank for retaining your job. Any of the tutors could replace it at any time. And look, Dart, not that we could ever replace you, and not that you would be replaced. An ethics teacher is most valuable to baby androids, and your station is highly valued, and I just would like to help you make sure that Edict also sees the value in you remaining at this station. Not that anything would ever remove you, but you know.
I just can't stand the way that you're saying his name.
What's wrong with
Edict? You know, forget it. Listen, Goldie, thanks for...
It's pronounced. I don't understand.
Thanks for stopping by. Really, always great to see you. Sure the kids are really stoked on having you here, but I think it's about time that you get going, eh?
You know that... Much has changed since we went Spectre training together, and I'm very concerned about your inability to keep up with the time.
That makes the two of us. Okay, thanks for stopping by. Yeah. See you soon.
I bid you good day. I bid you good day.
No, I'm afraid to say I bid you good day. Have a good one.
I said it first, have a good one. The day that is being bid is mine.
Thanks for coming.
And it's a good one. Good day.
All right, see ya.
And she storms out of the front of the barn, stops for a second when she sees the hawk, kind of like takes a peek in the windows, looks very vexed, and shakes her head and continues on her way.
And I think you see inside Larch wheels their chair around and starts making their way to the front door as well. He's coming.
Can we get out of sight until the other specter is gone?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's maybe, like, it's fine to make ourselves known to the tutor here, but keep out of sight of Edict's person.
Legit.
Sorry, Edict's person.
Thank you. Thank you for calling that a tutor. That was bothering.
Yeah, right.
So funny.
It's great.
All right. So, Goldie, as Larch called her, makes her way down the path, and Larch herself comes, I think, wheeling out into the front porch. He hasn't noticed you, but they're watching Goldie go.
Need a frickin' dart after that fuck. Lights up a cigarette.
Hell yeah, brother.
Do you say that? Invisibly?
Invisibly.
He says, invisibly.
Look, the Arcana approves.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother. Smoking is cool. I mean, if the coast is clear, I'll say that. And I'll be standing behind them so they don't notice me pop out of invisibility. It's like I was standing there the whole time.
I think she just kind of jumps when you say that. And she, like, wheels quickly around and she's like, holy shit. Whoa, you really startled me. Sorry, I didn't see you come in.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we just drove in a couple of seconds ago.
Yeah, that's our hawk out there.
Oh, yep. Well, hey and howdy to the lot of you. Name's Larch. Thanks for coming to my creation point today. What can I do you for?
Hi, Larch. I'm going to put a hand on the shoulder of both Simon and Celestine. I'm going to look Larch in the eyes and I'm going to say, nice to meet you. I am Bentley Davis. And I squeeze both their shoulders.
As like a be normal right? thing? Yeah.
Celestine holds out his hand and goes, Stanley.
Stanley.
My name is Stanley.
Hello?
You know, like where Stitch goes, how? With his weird little claw on Lilo and Stitch.
Yep.
Simon's gonna do that and be like, hi, I'm Scrymon. Nothing.
Flawless. Scrymon and nothing.
And then, like, looks up at Crater and winks really proudly.
Celestine leans into Crater. He's a natural.
Larch just lights up his cigarette and, like, there's a beat that passes between you all giving names in such a way, and they probably smoke half the cigarette, and then they're like, yeah, four of us acting natural. So what was it that I sorry, I'm a little bit frazzled because I just got a visitor that I wasn't expecting. All good though. What can I do for y'all?
Well, apologies for being additional unexpected visitors, but we were wondering, I was wondering if I might make use of the server here at the creation point.
Can this young man jack into that server real quick?
I would like to jack in if that is all right with you.
And we would like to watch him.
And they will watch while I jack in, and I promise I will jack out in no longer than 7 minutes.
He just needs that memory milk real bad.
He's worked up to it.
I mean, hey, you don't gotta ask me if you want to use the server. You can jack in wherever you like. I guess if you're friends want to be there with you, that's good by me. Doesn't really matter. Okay, well, if there's nothing you need from me, then I might go check on the bison or something. Anybody want a dart before I go?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Celestine pulls out his joint. I'm covered.
All right. We're all covered. All right, well, hey, if you need anything, just yell Larch, and I will wheel my way towards you as soon as possible, although there's a lot of farm chores around here. Do whatever you need to do, and if you'd like to help out, we wouldn't mind. Anyway, thanks, buds. See you soon.
I'm going to turn to Crater and Celestine and be like, should I do that? Should I go help? Should I go do that?
You know, Simon, I think it would be polite if we all chipped in. She seems like a good sort, and we'll earn our keep here the same way that we earned it at Mom and Pa's.
True. Okay, see you soon, Large.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. As we were.
Is it Large or is it Larch?
I'm calling them Large.
They're all trees, aren't they?
Yes, large, they are all trees.
Tudor Large is really
calling
Tudor
Large.
Tudor Large.
Large and in charge. Large and in charge.
Large and in charge.
Did I tell me to charge?
Large and charge.
Large and charge.
Gosh.
Well, Celestine, I think you've got some serious jacking in to do.
Celestine, entirely seriously, you are right, Simon. Yes, we must focus on that. We must focus on the jacking in.
Yes, please see that the jacking in is serious.
All right.
We are having a normal one today. Yeah.
Crater, don't take this the wrong way, but...
I'm sure I will.
Can you hang out outside the hawk this time?
Yeah, that's totally fair. Okay, yeah. Is there like a little like pen or something that's like kind of close by?
Can we tie Crater down somewhere?
There's just like a small little pen. There was like a single sheep in there. And like I see the sheep and I pick him up and I put him outside of the pen. And then I just sit down in the middle of it.
I love this image of you just like sitting down cross-legged in the pen. Just waiting patiently. Oh, that tickled me.
All right. Okay, well, let's do this.
Okay. We're ready to jack in?
Let's jack this boy. Cut that. I don't want to say that.
Yeah. Too late,
baby. But save it. We could use that.
Yeah. When you least expect it.
That's right.
Okay. And so you find your way over to the server just in front of the cornfield, the corn maze. You sit in and you jack in. There's a bit of an odd start to this memory. As the creation point in the present day fades away, this memory begins only a few yards away, where Simon, Crater, and Celestine just arrived. Only this time, Celestine is surrounded by young androids, more than 20 in all, as they arrive at the Scuttle Steps creation point. All around you, you can hear them chattering excitedly.
Hey, Rum, do you think this tutor will be as strict as the one in Venor Vega? Because I hope not, because I don't want that.
And do you think they'll let us take care of the
animals?
Yeah,
and I don't want to learn about... like, ethics sounds boring. I don't want to learn
that. Yeah, me neither. I want to learn about
art. Do you
think
they're going to make us take care of the animals?
I don't know. I haven't been here before, but I do know that there is a creation point for art, and it's up north, so it's not going to be this one.
Oh, man,
I wish I was the art creation point now.
I wish this was the art creation point so
bad. I don't want to take care of animals. I just want to do art.
I don't want to milk a cow.
I don't want to milk a cow. That's gross. Those are boobs.
Well...
The three of you find yourselves swept away by Celestine's past emotions, bubbling anticipation as he's caught up in the excitement of a new creation point, a suppressed feeling of anxiety that he pushes deep down, a stoic but sore loneliness as he grows accustomed to independence, and a rush of surprise as he spots a familiar face in the crowd. Sombra. Sombra is here, waiting on the large front porch of the barn and waiting for Celestine in the crowd of young androids. She sees you, Celestine, and she waves.
Rom, over here.
All right. I think Celestine is still a little shaken to hear himself called something different, even though he understands why. But yeah, we'll definitely go and go over to Sombra. There is one thing that I would love to do if I can, and that is find a reflective surface. I want to see how I look.
Oh. I think you could probably find a puddle.
Yeah, I want to see if I look like Celestine.
Time seems to be a little wishy-washy when it comes to these memories. And you experienced that when you were in your last memory, where you know that you chose a path and yet you saw what could have been. And so you look into this puddle and you see the face that you expect to see, your own, because it's you here. You're piloting yourself, but it's you. Mm-hmm. It is the gear android face that you expect to see.
All right. Sounds like what you're saying is that, like, even though I'm seeing the face I recognize, that could simply be a function of how weird memories are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So I still am no closer to being certain as to whether I was alive back then or whether I just house Rom's life chip.
Yeah. Impossible to tell.
All right. It was worth a try. Okay. Having checked that out, I will, I'll hurry over to Sombra.
Rom. Hi.
What are you doing here, Sombra?
Me? Ooh, really exciting things, in fact. But that's for in a second. How is your creation point journey going?
It's good, I think.
Oh my goodness, you're so grown up. I guess I don't have to babysit you anymore, huh?
Celestine blushes as much as a Gears android can blush.
Oh, you're so cute. Okay, listen. Look, Fate mentioned that our paths might collide here, and I was so hoping that they would. We are, and she looks kind of over her shoulders, we're doing meditation training. And she gives quotes around meditation and what we're really doing. Okay, check it out. What we're really doing is trying to get into the digital network. But the tutor doesn't know that. She just thinks it's meditation.
Why are we going into the digital network?
Well, there's lots of potential in there. It can be used by people. I mean, your maker has made enormous strides. And the problem is that there's a trial. And if you complete the trial, you can learn something. Anything you want to know. And we want to learn how to do that. Isn't it exciting?
Yes, that is exciting. I would love to join you for this.
Oh, okay. Well, to be honest with you, we haven't quite perfected the process yet. Right now it's a lot of sitting in a quiet spot, listening to a buzzing sound, and trying to fall asleep and then go further than sleep anyway. I haven't done it yet. But here's the thing, though. Okay, did your maker ever have, like, that talk with you about the guardian and the ward and the fusion? I think I've heard it about 50 times now.
Celestine, you do remember this. You remember your maker talking about the guardian, the ward, and the fusion, and how they'll be an important part of the purpose. The purpose, of course, to prevent Regent Faze's plans to conquer death by perfecting immortality.
The guardian, the ward, and the fusion.
That's right.
Is this... this about joining consciousness with a liminal beast? Is that what you mean?
Liminal? Well, I actually didn't think you knew about those. Joining consciousness.
Who all is going to do this?
Joining consciousness. Where did you ever hear such... Sorry, who all is going to do this? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Okay, Rom, do you remember the first time we got introduced and I told you that I have friends that my maker doesn't know about?
Yes, I do remember that.
And you said you'd like to meet them someday.
Yes, I did.
Would you still like to?
Of course.
Good, because they're here.
Taking your hand, Sombra leads you away from the farm's main entrance and through the corn maze. Emerging on the other side, you find that she's led you to a quiet spot, a small brook that runs between the maze and the pastures beyond, and two people await you there. One sits with their back to you and doesn't move as you arrive. The other looks over his shoulder and exclaims,
"Ah, Sombra, I just woke up."
Sombra's hand slips from yours as she runs towards the skier android. He's dressed in brightly colored cargo pants and linen top, and the top of his head is a liquid lightning-filled dome. He has a tape recorder around his neck from which a familiar low buzzing sound emerges. Both Celestine from the past and present-day Crater in Celestine recognizes android to be Monophonic Voltrelect, while Simon has certainly heard the name in retelling several times now. However, as your attention turns to the third person, a strange mismatched sensation occurs. You notice they are... well, you simply can't notice them is the thing. They are there, certainly. They sit very still by the brook as Sombra brings Voltrelect over. But looking upon them is like looking at something with your glasses off. Fuzzy, indistinct. And as this happens, Simon, a little voice rings in your ear, and you can tell that this message is for you, though the others hear it.
Oh, Simon, don't fret about what you cannot see. The fools will become one soon enough, and then you'll know everything.
Okay, Rom, I understand you've already met Monophonic Voltrelect at Magna Court's creation point, but what you don't know is that he's one of my friends. A very important friend, in fact. Monophonic isn't just a brilliant scientist and teacher. He is the fusion.
That's me. Good to see you again, young pupil.
Likewise.
Has your journey been treating you well?
Yes. Yes. As well as can be expected, I suppose.
Excellent. Excellent. And I hope you've made some progress in learning to use that device I gave you. How's it treating you?
Present day Celestine, you know, speaking very confidently here. It has come in great handy.
Excellent. Excellent. And he claps you on the back. Well, most fortuitous that you've crossed paths with us here today. As you can see, we are engaged in meditative trading. You filled him in? Yeah? Oh, yeah, great. I mean, it's not exactly the quantifiable methods I am used to applying. I must admit, I found the process highly taxing, but very fascinating.
And forgive me, but who is your companion?
Oh, well, they haven't woke up yet, but that's...
Does this feel like when someone is denamed?
Exactly as such.
Just so.
Well, I would love to join your, and Celestine uses the air quotes, meditation, if you'll have me.
Well, certainly, although I might need to give it an hour. I didn't succeed in going all the way in, but...
I'm ready to go in now.
I'm afraid I haven't gone in myself, young pupil. This is new horizons.
I'd like to try, if that's all right.
Well, very eager.
I'm going to step in here because here's the thing, Celestine. No. Here's the thing, Rom. You know that this was not your purpose. I think that you understand enough about the plan that these three have a separate path than you do. And the teachings that they're receiving right now are important to the skills that they need to know, not for you. And so I think that you just recall, Celestine recalls that Rom never did this.
All right. Okay.
Perhaps another time. I'm quite spent, and the expectations on us are extremely high. Going into the networks, if we can manage it, will allow us to bypass FaZe's administrative control over the amplifier, but that requires us to... successfully be able to enter it, essentially at will.
I see.
But if we hope to break her chokehold over life and death, this is what we have to do.
Well, then I certainly wish you all the best luck.
I get that in the past, Rom didn't go into the networks, and so we're not going to do that here and now. Is there any information that I have as Celestine, having been into the networks multiple times, that I could impart to them to help them get into the networks?
Sure. What do you say?
Well, that is the question. I mean, it's kind of an esoteric thing. When we do it, we do follow the buzzing sound.
I was going to say, like, maybe that's something that's interesting thing you can do. You can recommend them a sound, right? Because that helped us the first time.
Right. And so maybe Monophonic's tape recorder, maybe the sound needs adjusting.
Yeah.
Cool. Dope.
Love that.
If I might make a suggestion, and far be it from me to tell you all how to do your business, but...
A teacher who is a good teacher knows that they're a pupil for life.
I would maybe adjust the frequency of your sound. You might find it more helpful in terms of guiding you where you want to go.
Well, by all means. And he hands over the tape recorder.
I fiddle with something. I don't know. I don't know how I would do what it is that I'm describing. Even better. Let's have Celestine use the tape recorder to try and his best to make the sound, to hum the sound.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I think you do your best recollection of the sound, which is a funny thing because you're recalling something from the future.
Interesting. That vibration is quite... compelling, isn't it? And not quite what we were playing. I look forward to using this on our next dive. Thank you, young pupil. Thank you, Rom.
Yeah, I'm happy to be of assistance.
Okay, yes, all great. Assistance, wonderful. You've met. Okay, so, Monophonic Voltrelect, the fusion. And once they wake up, I am so excited to introduce you to... They're my makers, and they've been... with me the whole time I was on my creation point journey. They've been so excited to meet you, Rom, and to tell you all about...
Yeah, I know that there are rules around denamed individuals and what we're able to keep in our brains about them, but this isn't the world. This is memory. Is there anything I can do in this moment to try and decipher the garbled information that Sombra is giving us?
The answer is no, because Rom had no need to.
Right, so they weren't denamed at this time. They've been denamed since.
Solid conclusion.
Really, so, you know, I they're the only one of us who has taken naturally to this meditation thing. I think this time they might have actually achieved a lucid connection to the network. None of us have been under this long. And if they've cracked it, me and Monophonic can't be far behind. You'll get it. We'll both get it, Monophonic. And then we're laughing.
A sound comes from the person sitting by the brook. And Sombra, Celestine, and Monophonic all turn with a start. The person speaks, and it is like hearing someone speak through a wall of glass. But whatever it is they said, it makes Voltrelec smile. They walk over to Rom, who looks up at them shyly. Rom reaches out to shake their proffered hand, and an introduction is made. Sombra gives them your name, Rom, and she introduces them to you, Rom, as
the Guardian.
The indistinct person replies. As they speak, your mind can't wrap its head around their face. Their words come through as if spoken from behind a pane of glass, and all details of this interaction slip from your mind before you can retain them. However, against all odds, and likely because you have one person here in the vehicle with you watching this memory who can barely pierce through the veil of the denamed, against all odds, you manage to recollect one thing this person says as they're introducing themselves. What is it?
Can we get the piece of information? Sombra said, this person is my maker's blah. What about that? Can we get their relation to Regent Faze?
So what you get, the three of you, as you hear this, is like they say a sentence and the front of it and the back of it are behind this pane of glass and just like the middle part of this. So you kind of get this completely out of context. But you hear them say, I understand you've met my spouse, Faze. Whoa, where am I?
You're probably wondering where you are. I'll tell you where you might be. You might be in a room where all your dreams come true.
What is this? Who are you?
You can call me Puzzle Guy. And this is an opportunity. An opportunity to make me smile. You want me to smile, don't you? Don't worry. I provided you with everything you'll need. In the far corner of the room, you'll find a laptop. Do you see it?
Yes, I see it.
Open it.
Okay.
Open it.
Okay.
Now enter patreon.com/planetarcana and hit enter. Do you see it? Do you see all the extra content you're missing out on?
Oh, yes, I see it.
Good. Now go to the list of tiers. Do you see it now? Do you see how you can get in on perks like day early access to ad-free episodes? Perks like exclusive merchandise? Perks like the Artwork Club, where you'll receive a piece of Planet Arcana art in the mail each and every month?
Oh god, it's beautiful.
Do you see the tier that gives you access to a whole additional monthly show? A show where the Planet Arcana GMs and cast discuss the events of the campaign, share behind-the-scenes secrets, and bare their whole hearts and souls?
I see it. Oh, I've been living my life in the shadows, and only now can I see the light. The light of this additional monthly talkback show they call Recharge.
Good. So you know now what you must do.
I do. I must seriously consider signing up to become a Planet Arcana patron, if it's right for me.
If it is right for you, yes.
And I'm going to go to planetarcana.com to see what else they have available to me, like a link to a merch store so I can buy a cool sweatshirt.
Now you're thinking like a puzzle guy.
I have to go now.
Of course. On the opposite wall, you'll find a thank you note and bus fare.
Thank you.
No. Thank you. And now, back to the show.
Right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You are all pulled out of the memory back to the Scuttle Steps creation point.
Wait, so FaZe's partner is conspiring to stop them?
As was FaZe's advisor and FaZe's own child, which gives you some idea of exactly how strongly everybody felt that immortality was wrong for this world.
Mm-hmm. I need a history refresher on what we know happened to FaZe at the end. Because like FaZe was assassinated, right?
Fate
was assassinated.
My maker was assassinated.
Yeah, that is what history tells you.
But FaZe just disappeared, right?
No.
FaZe,
she never rebooted.
She never rebooted is the term that you know.
She never rebooted, right? Well, what need have you for a corporeal body when you can just be the Arcana?
What need have you?
What need have you indeed?
Peculiar, such.
And Sean, like, your any history questions that you have here, or not Sean Crater, whoever is asking about history,
no,
feel
it's Sean.
Free. Yeah,
fair
enough.
Does anybody know who did assassinate Advisor Fate?
It is not known.
That was lost to history.
Yeah, fucking convenient that a whole bunch of history just got lost right around the time of the pivotal event.
Well, I guess like half of the people in the world lost all of their memories, right? Like all of their knowledge, right? That was the big oops. Like all the androids got wiped.
Yeah.
Androids lost all of their knowledge and memories, and every data bank, like every digital data bank, was lost.
But nothing happened to the humans necessarily. It was a catastrophe for the androids, but nothing happened with the human population.
Not directly to them, but it was kind of the burning of the Library of Alexandria. All of the information was consolidated digitally, and all of history, all of knowledge was lost.
Damn, be a bummer if that happened in real life. Like we have right now.
And this is a separate point, but just to tie it all together, like that's a huge tenet of the Fae that you learned in what the Empress was saying, was that when all history was amassed digitally, it could all be lost, and so that's why Fae are so, they keep their traditions of oral history so strongly.
Gotcha.
Emphasis on oral.
Thanks. No, that was very poignant.
The Fae.
Yeah.
Now we know that the big oops, or at least the prevailing wisdom, is that the big oops was caused by the destruction of the amplifier, or they're just those two things happened at the same time and we can't be sure they were related.
Yeah, I mean, those two things happen at the same time, but the amplifier did have something to do with the digital history keeping. So
we know that the three fools destroyed an amplifier. Stop me at any point if I'm ever wrong here.
You're correct.
The three fools destroyed an amplifier. The regent never woke up. There's three people that we're having flashbacks with that are tinkering with going in and out of the networks, which we know goes wrong at one point for them because they turn into fucking beasts.
Does it go wrong or does it go exactly as planned?
Right.
Interesting. I always pictured it as there was a consequence of one of their actions, but maybe that was the plan.
It does. I get the vibe that they were all playing some real long game.
Okay.
That's, and I mean, maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe it was, the amplifier got destroyed and whatever they were trying to do got fucked up and they got trapped within these beasts. But the idea that we picked up a box from the statue of the fool,
And that box is tied to all of these beasts. We need to unlock this box. Like, it's been, it just feels like there are some very carefully laid plans here. And whatever they were doing is linked in with whatever purpose they had for Rom. Who knows whether Rom's purpose was meant to be fulfilled at the time or...
has yet to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, maybe you've already established this, but did the big oops happen in a year of the Fool?
Let me double check that. This is some long ago shit.
4,000 years.
I mean, if you don't know the answer off the top of your head, it might be inconsequential, question mark?
Right. Yeah, that's a good call. But the point still stands that it's hard to tell whether or not the sort of fusion with the great beasts was an accident or was an intentional part of a plan.
The other main piece of this memory was that you learned of the role names, the guardian, the ward, and the fusion. And one of you has heard these three terms before. Crater, from the moon, the last time the moon spoke to you.
I need a refresher on that. I don't remember it. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. There's a lot happening.
Yeah, there's kind of a lot going on.
It's kind of been 3 years of stuff.
Was it the most recent time I spoke with the moon? Like when I got this new boon?
Moon boon.
You got a moon boon.
Moon boon. So what the moon said last time is if you fail to secure your legacy, the fools will be overthrown by the usurper. The guardian, the warden, the fusion will be overthrown by the usurper.
Oh. Okay. You know what? I was so hung up on the word usurper because I had never heard that before that I disregarded the rest of the sentence.
Okay. So then that means that whatever Mesmera is planning is in direct conflict to whatever the plans were of these folks, the guardian, the ward, and the fusion.
Is Mesmera potentially trying to build towards what FaZe was all those years ago? And that's why...
It's interesting because FaZe is a follower of the moon, but we're pretty sure that we've established Mesmera as a follower of the sun. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Yeah. Like the current region. Now, I don't know, that doesn't necessarily preclude Mesmera from working toward those same aims of immortality, but just kind of interesting.
I would like all three of you to roll an insight check for me, please.
Thank God. Nudge us in the right direction here.
No, you're doing great.
Oh, the directions are so tantalizing. We're loving this.
Dirty 20.
Ooh.
I just rolled 28.
Oh, yeah.
I rolled a 14. Okay. How about them beans?
How about them that, beans?
That beans.
That beans.
I actually think it really just makes so much sense for Simon to put this together because I think you're just a set of fresh eyes on the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
Sombra introduced Rom to the roles that they were all playing, the ward, the guardian, and the fusion.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of interesting, though, that you could ascribe one of those roles to each of you three.
Oh.
Even more interesting that, and I don't think I'm stepping out of line here to place it. I mean, the guardian is Crater.
Yeah.
Crater, you've been watching over Celestine, the ward, this entire campaign. And the fusion, Simon is walking between two worlds as a fae who became human. But isn't it interesting that Riot 2 was an android or a human with android pieces, also a fusion?
Fuck me.
Is it us? Did we do it all?
Fuck, we gotta hop in private chat.
Laminite's name is Simon.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Wait,
so, Monophonic, Vulturelect, Quintessa Sombra, and Unintelligible. Do we know what role they have been given there?
Monophonic is the fusion.
That's right. Sombra said as much.
Sorry, yes, okay.
I would, if I had to bet, I'd say Sombra is the ward as the youngest member and the child of the regent and making the last one, the guardian.
So we're trying to discover the guardian. Okay.
That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To get back to the point as to why we started doing this last episode, the fuck is this person's name?
Well, it seems that at some point after these events, they were denamed, and we have yet to be successful in discovering the name of one who was denamed.
Except for Teaspoon.
Well, we knew that name before she lost it. But I think you're on to the same thing I am, Crater, which is that the networks may be the key. We were in the networks when Teaspoon denamed herself, and we retained our knowledge of Teaspoon. The composite couple were denamed, and they now exist somewhere in the spaces between networks. And if this Calamanite was denamed, then perhaps the key to finding the rest of their name is not in my memories or Rom's memories, but it's in the networks. Or maybe not.
I mean,
I don't really know.
Crucially, you have someone in your party who can see and retain memories of the denamed.
Simon?
Simon, did you see anything different? Were you able to... Did you hear the name that Sombra said and you've just been quiet this whole time?
No!
This is a clear conversation the entire time. Why are you all so confused?
I'm just being confused because you guys were confused.
I did hear something, and I don't know how I know, but I think only I could hear it, but I didn't hear the name.
What did you hear, Simon?
They said, "Oh, Simon, don't fret about what you cannot see. The fools will become one soon enough, and then you'll know everything."
The fools become one. Okay. I wish someone would just tell us. You know,
Crater Buddy, I've wished that for a long time. Now, Simon, did you... You weren't told that by... one of the people in the memory, were you?
It was the Empress.
What does she mean, the fools will become one?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, can you ask her? She's your mom, right?
Yeah, she's my mom.
That was a little insensitive there, Celestine.
I'm sorry.
Can you just ask the star anything? And
Star, me ain't seeing eye to eye right now.
Neither am I with the Empress.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, I can ask her. I don't know. I'd like to use divine intervention, wherein I call upon my deity to intervene on my behalf when the need is great. So
amazing.
I'd like to conjure the Empress. And I'll do it indignantly with a snap of my fingers. And then my eyes rolling back up into my head.
If I recall correctly, this ability necessitates a D100 roll in which you have to roll under your level.
Okay.
Equal to or like, is it, can it be
equal to?
Equal
to or under.
Okay, all right. That is an extra percent of a chance.
Yep. Gotta take those percents where you can.
Oh my god.
No way.
I'm gonna send y'all a fucking photo.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I won't believe it until I see the photo.
Holy shit, that's a six.
You rolled a six.
Holy fucking
oh my god.
Roll a fucking six.
Holy shit.
Okay, oh on a D100, you have to roll 15 or under. And I was like, well, okay, let's see if this works.
16. 16.
I can't believe it.
Holy shit. Yeah, sorry, you have to roll under 16.
Oh my god.
Simon the Spider. Simon the Sweet. Simon the Fool, you've called me and here I am.
Okay, Big Empress Mommy. How's it going, first of all?
Yes, I'm here and full of gravitas to answer your question.
Classic. Okay, listen, Mommy.
Yes.
I need to ask you a question.
Ask Simon.
What is the full name of the beast currently laying waste to the good and wilds?
Oh, Simon, the full name of that beast exists, and it is the keeper of that name. You must satisfy its conditions before receiving it.
Satisfy its conditions. How do we satisfy those conditions?
Oh, it's very simple and utterly laborious, I'm afraid. The beast that resides in the Gudrun Wilds is the keeper of history, and only by learning the history that it keeps can you learn their name.
That is super not helpful. No offense.
Baking powder? I come down to you, I offer you two answers, Simon.
Two bullshit answers, Empress.
Two answers with one divine
is the keeper of history. You need to learn history. Do you know how vague and open that is?
Do you know how favored you are and all, you know?
Simon, if I'm so favored, then what are we doing
Arcana,
here?
I am Arcana, and you will respect the answers.
You know,
I've
been thinking about dating other Arcana.
Fine, you have one more question. One more question. If any of the Fae find out that I did this, this is breaking. Okay, one more question, because you are the fool, and I love you. But you are gonna... Just watch that attitude, Simon.
Don't you dampen my inner shine.
Well, Simon, one more question.
Okay. So the beast that resides in the Gudrun Wilds is the keeper of history, and you need to learn that history in order to satisfy its conditions, in order to learn its full name. Okay. So Simon turns to Crater and Celestine. What do we think this history is? Are we talking like the big oops? Are we talking like who did that?
Like, do we need to just keep gaining Celestine's memories back here just to understand what happened to those three and maybe it'll come clear? Or is it like we need to beat the shit out of somebody else to get the answer?
That's how you learn history in the Fifth Collide. You beat up somebody else until they tell you the history.
How about the question, how do we find out the appropriate histories needed to learn?
I love that. I think that that's, yes. That's a wonderful question.
Okay, Empress. Thank you for your time, first of all.
You are welcome, Simon. You are welcome.
I'm sorry, too.
Okay.
How do we find the appropriate histories that we need to learn in order to satisfy the beast's conditions?
You may learn this history by diving into the memories of the only living being who was there for that history.
Celestine.
My brilliant fool.
See, like, you could have just said, like, continue on our path.
I'm out of here. Okay.
Wow.
I love you, Simon.
I love you, too. I always will.
That was the best. That was the best interaction with an Arcana we have ever
had.
So real.
So real.
I just imagine fucking Tudor Larch just like standing off at the side with a cigarette just dangling out of their mouth, just staring
just
at
like
this.
Just like a giant empress with a huge sword. Fucking.
Oh, God.
I actually think as the empress left, like a huge, like almost like an acre of land around you, the brown grass turns kind of green and like some flowers sprout up and, you know, she just kind of leaves her mark.
Ah, it's nice, isn't it? Fuck.
The more we learn about the Arcana and that they become more and more demystified in terms of like their personalities and how one becomes an Arcana and that a mortal can ascend to an Arcana, it really puts folks like the Devil and the Tower into perspective as like kind of edgelord shitheads.
Yeah.
Oh my
so
god.
True.
Yeah. Facts.
Sometimes for ultimate power, you must lord over that edge.
You must study the blade.
Upon this rumination, Celestine, your pip starts ringing.
Damn.
I take a look.
Yeah, it's your bestie. It's Harley calling.
How did Harley get this guy? I'm just gonna send it to voicemail.
Okay, you can send it to voicemail.
Who gave Harley my number? Crater, did you do that?
Why would you assume it's me? I'm the most chill out of the three of us. I wouldn't just give your fucking number away.
The phone starts ringing again.
She's like one of the most well-connected people in the Fifth Collide. Of course she can find your PIP number.
Simon, you answer it.
Hello, it's Scrime in the Nothing here.
Sorry, who am I speaking to?
Scrime in the Nothing. How may I be of service?
I think I called the wrong number. Goodbye.
No, You have found the correct number.
Oh, we had a chance again. There.
She hung up and she's calling back.
God damn it. Harley.
Hello?
Harley, I know it's so hard to figure out, but I'm actually Simon the Spider, not Scribe in the Nothing.
Oh, thank goodness. I accidentally called Scribe in the Nothing last time, and it was very embarrassing.
You did?
You this time, Simon.
Anyway, what's up?
Oh, you know, I'm all settled in over here in Bucharest, and I don't know, I haven't heard from you guys in a few days, and I'm getting rather antsy.
Yeah.
I'm just bored, just seeing what's up.
You need to get out of the Good Unwilds. I'm so sorry. We were going to tell you, but like, you need to, there's a beast there, and
beast?
Yeah. You might need to get, hightail it out of there.
Okay. What? Where are you?
We're in the seal wastes.
Nope.
No?
The seal wastes.
Oh, shit, right. Sorry, we were in the seal wastes, but now we are in the scuttle steps.
The scuttle steps?
That's right.
How?
Well, there was like, you know, there was a hawk and then we had it like souped up by a friend of Celestine's and then Celestine like really put the right magical item in there and now it can hop between creation points and we faced a pretty terrible beast in the Good Unwilds that's going to wreak havoc on our system and probably end life as we know it unless we can figure out something to satisfy its needs.
Look, Simon, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
That's fair.
Not even a little bit. Please talk to Celestine.
Yep. There you go, Celestine.
No.
Oh, shit. No. Here's Crater.
Celestine, bestie.
Hey, Harley. This is Crater.
Oh, hello. Okay. Well, I suppose he's busy. I was just talking to Simon, and there was a lot of... Well, in any case, are you actually in Scuttle Steps?
We are. Yeah, we were going to get a hold of you. I know the whole plan was we were going to meet up with you in Bucharest, uh-huh. and we were going to, like, zip on down to uh-huh. the Phantom Isles.
That's what we talked about.
Maybe, you know what? I think we have our own way of getting there, so maybe if you want to just do a little skit-scattly-do down to the Phantom Isles, we can just meet you there.
Oh, okay. Skit... Okay, all right. I like this development very much. Okay, one small little eensy-meensy tiny, teeny-tiny little problem. Not really a problem, more like an injury.
You're setting this up like it's going to be a big issue.
No, it's not a big issue. Here's the thing, though. It's okay. my teleportation abilities are sort of, tied to the Riskotech network, and I'm afraid the only... circle in the Phantom Isles that I have access to is the one directly inside Frisco Tech. So maybe you could meet me there and we can bust out of there together. Whee! Like old times. Remember, several months ago?
Why didn't you fucking tell us that when we were making this goddamn plan that you had to show up in the middle of fucking Frisco Tech?
Look, I didn't.
You are the worst goddamn criminal in the goddamn world. What is wrong with
the details? What's wrong with me? I am a genius. All right,
that's
really
a very important piece of information, Harley.
Tech.
You can't be doing this to us. We're on a fucking knife edge right now. You can't do this to us.
Once you can break out again with me this time. What fun!
Fucking amateurs.
Oh my god, put me on the phone.
Everyone's
with my
a fucking
bestie.
Amateur.
The only one who understands me.
I'm hard right now.
Celestine, here you go. Here's your fucking phone.
Celestine hangs up.
The phone's ringing again.
Celestine, answer the phone.
Answer the phone.
Yes. Yes, Harley. Yes, Harley.
Okay, look, bestie, hello. Look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't tell you about the Riskotech thing. I just really wanted you to agree to do
it. Yeah, well,
and
that's dishonest, Harley. And if we're going to be working together, you can't do shit like that.
Okay, What can I offer you that will make you stop bitching about this?
Wow.
More money.
Well, maybe if you've got an idea about how we're meant to get into Riskotech, let alone break out of it.
I don't know. How'd you do it last time?
We were invited the last time. Now we're fugitives. Did you think this through, Harley?
Of course. I've thought through this immensely. I picture myself and my old throne at Riskotech, surrounded by money and admirers. It's all very detailed and crystal clear, I assure you. Look, I'm not the career criminal here. You are.
Evidently.
All I'm asking is that you come up with a highly sophisticated plan to meet me at Riskotech and leave together, and then have a bid for vengeance. I'm not asking for the fucking moon here, Celestine.
If you were asking for the fucking moon,
look,
I think we could arrange it easier than what you are asking us now.
All right. Look, my permissions at Riskotech are a little different than they used to be. I can still use the teleportation circle. It's hard-coded into my programming. What else could I offer you? The blueprints.
Well, if you have blueprints, you could have started with that.
Well, I can send you the blueprints. I'll send them to your pip. And that fixes everything, right?
Well, it is a start, Harley.
Wonderful. Send over those blueprints.
Hey, Celestine.
Yeah, what?
Ask for 10% of Riskotech.
Harley. Okay.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
We can do this for you.
Good.
However, the price has gone up. Given that we are accepting more risk than we initially agreed to, did not think we'd be walking right back into Riskotech, we're gonna need something a little more than just the one-time cash payment.
What are you asking for?
Well, you want to be partners in this adventure. Perhaps we should be partners in an ongoing capacity. We want to share a Riskotech.
A share of Riskotech, you say?
That's right. 5% for each of us. Winks at Crater.
That's my boy.
Celestine, I would love to be business partners with you at Riskotech. We are on!
Cash payment, as agreed.
Yes, yes, cash, but we're going to afterwards. Let's just celebrate,
for Christ's sake. Plus 5% for each of us.
We're going to a discotheque. We're going to get it back for Holly.
Yeah. Hanging up the phone.
Everybody have a beer for Holly. Holly. Ooh.
Business.
Oh, God.
You hang up the pip, shaken by your recollections, contacted by an old friend. Celestine, Crater, and Simon, you can chart whatever course you like, but you know that very soon you have to set back to where it all began. Riskotech Casino.
Welcome to your big win.